Praise the Lord. Of course, they were joking too. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for this word that you've given me to minister today. I believe that I've heard you, Father, and I thank you for your word that's anointing. I thank you that it's anointed. I thank you for anointing me to minister that anointed word. Thank you, Father, that I speak what's on your heart today. And I thank you, Lord, that we'll receive that word and go forth and apply that word in our everyday lives, that the glory of the Lord could be seen on us and in us. In Jesus' name, the church said amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have, you know, in the natural, what we call emergency preparedness plans. And at my place of employment, we have to go through them once a year. And emergency means an unexpected situation. Now, emergency in our lives are not emergencies to God. We consider them emergencies, okay? But in the natural, we practice emergency drills and emergency preparedness things to prepare ourselves in case there is an emergency situation that needed to be handled in a way that we have been prepared for. And so because once the threat is there, we don't have time to run and find the manual and read up on what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Amen. So in life, we have unexpected circumstances that comes along and things that come along. And as sons and daughters of God, we should be prepared. We should be continually preparing ourselves and be prepared to know what to do when those situations come along in life. And that is why we stay in the Word. That's why we stay in fellowship with like believers, be connected strongly to a local church, have a covering, and an ongoing prayer with God. And, you know, prayer is just simply talking to God. You know, He's not looking for eloquent words or anything. He's just looking for you to come to talk to Him. Just talk to Him. Amen. So a fellowship with God through ongoing prayer, and be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And those are the ways that we stay prepared in case of those unexpected things that happen in our life. Because when you get that phone call in the middle of the night, you may not have time to run to your Bible and find that word or find what to do. Amen. So, but Ashley had put a post on Facebook yesterday, and it was a really good word. And I just wanted to share a minute of what she said in that. She said, "Today as I frame this print, I'm reminded of how much a difference a day can make. A day can bring wonderful blessings, but some days bring on events that absolutely change your life."
Amen.
And I think we've all been there. Amen. So in a day, have you encountered a trouble? You know, we don't have yesterday. It's gone. Tomorrow's not yet come. But today. But today. So if you encounter a situation where you cannot absolutely knew, you cannot do anything about it. Because in the natural, sometimes we want to figure out how to handle it, how to figure it out, and see what we can do about it. And then if it don't work out, we might go to God about it. Amen? That's just part of that. I've been human sometimes. So there's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Bible tells us about a man who encountered a situation in a day. And he got the word. He said, "A great multitude of the enemy is coming to battle against you and your people." Verse 2, "There comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria," this side of Syria. So they were already headed toward Jehoshaphat and his people. They was heading straight to him. No time for Joshua to run somewhere and find out what he needed to do. The enemy was breathing down his neck at that point. So the enemy was breathing down his neck, and the first thing Jehoshaphat did was to pray. He knew what to do. So he talked to God about the news that he just heard. And Jehoshaphat set himself, the word says, Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord And then he proclaimed a fast throughout the land. Not so that he could get God to do something, so he could get himself in position to hear from God. Amen? So Judah gathered himself together. They gathered themselves together. That's why you need a local church, a body of believers that you know in times of crisis, you can call your sister up, you can call your brother up, you've got some folks that will stand with you. Amen? So that's why you need to be settled in a local church to have a pastor and fellowship of like believers. So Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. And I want you all to know today that if you're part of New Life for the Nations, and if you have a crisis, if you have a situation to come up, come and ask help from the body.
Amen.
And we will set ourselves to fast and pray and seek the Lord. Amen? So the Word tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, the Word says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You know, at this particular time in Jeremiah, Judah was in captivity. And Judah means praise. So if the devil can get you to quit praising, because praising will bring the presence of God into the situation.
Yeah.
Amen? So he wants to silence your voice. He wants to steal your song. Amen? Yeah. So at the time Judah was in captivity and the situation seemed hopeless and impossible, but then God extends the invitation to his people to call on me. To call on me. So you don't know what to do in the situation, but I do. Because see, things that happen in our lives has not taken God by surprise. He already knows what he can do. And he already knows the outcome of it. So when we choose to call on him, amen, see, we serve a supernatural God. We talked about this Wednesday night. And if we try to fix things in this natural realm, God's got a supernatural answer for it, church.
Amen.
He can go beyond what the doctors say.
Amen.
He can go beyond what your bank account says.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. So you've got to get yourself out of the natural realm when you call on God and realize who you're calling upon. Amen. So they were in captivity. The situation seemed hopeless. But God says, call to me. And he says, when you call to me, I'm going to show you some great and mighty things that you don't know about yet. Glory to God. And when you begin to call on God and get out of that natural realm of thinking, he'll give you a plan on what to do. And when he gives you the plan on what to do, sometimes he may say, just settle down, stay quiet, and watch me move. Sometimes he may say, you need to do this or you need to do that. But when he does it, and not you doing it, he'll be a supernatural thing and you'll get a supernatural result.
That's right.
That will even astound you. Can I get an amen on that today? So you don't know what to do in the situation, God says, but I do, so call to me. And one thing I found out, it could be between you and the miracle you need. All that is needed is for you to cry out to God. Don't be silent when you hear the enemy is coming up against you. Begin to call out to God and say, God, I don't know what to do, but I know that you do. And I know that you're going to show me what to do. Psalms 50:15 says, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you'll glorify me. So I encourage you today to study the manual. It will handle any emergency that comes up in your life. So I want to encourage you as a body of believers to study the manual when the sun is shining. Because the rainy day will come because we live life in this earth right now. Amen? So get to know the author of the manual.
Woo.
Get to know the author of the manual. Develop a relationship with the author of the manual. When you know someone, not just about them. I've heard a lot of God talk all my life. I was raised in a Baptist church where heaven was sweet, hell was hot. You need to do what you need to do to stay out of hell and get to heaven. Amen? Nothing was ever mentioned about relationship. But once I began to understand and totally give my life to the Lord and I began to understand about relationship, it made a world of difference.
Yeah.
Because I got to know the author of the book.
Yeah.
And I realize that he wants a relationship with us. So, begin to learn about his character and who they are. So I know the author of the book, the manual, amen, that tells us how to get through the life now. So on the day of, he is love, he's compassion, he's all grace, he's all mercy, he's all forgiving, he's all love. God's a good God, church. Well, on the day of trouble, it's much easier to call on someone when you already have a relationship with him, with them, and or with them. You know, since Mr. Powell is here today, I'll talk about him. I have a relationship with him. And because I do, I know him better than anybody else does. So in the day of trouble, if I needed something, I could call him. And I know that help is on the way. And that's the way God wants our relationship with him. Except when we begin to call on him, we just need to wait. Help is on the way. Somebody tell your neighbor, help is on the way. You've not been forsaken. Help is on the way. Amen? So in the day of trouble, if I need it, all I have to do is pick up the phone and call him, and I know help is on the way. I don't have to wait and wonder if he will come. I know he will because of my relationship with him. God is saying to us today, you do what you can do, which is call on me. That's your part. It's to pray, to call on me. Just talk to me. Amen? And I will do the great and mighty things. So you don't have to do it. You just call on God and stand back and watch the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. So Jehoshaphat heard the enemy was coming, and he began to call upon God. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. And even out of all the cities of Judah, they came together as one. And I just heard the Lord say this morning, I'm bringing unity back. And when the church get as one, there's going to be an unleashing of the glory of God like we've yet seen. Why? Because we're all going to be on the same page.
That's right.
Amen. We're all going to be walking as one. So he began to remind God of who he was and what he had done. And when we get that call or we get that situation or that day of trouble, amen, begin to remind God of who he is, because he already knows anyway. But when we begin to say, God, you are loving, you are forgiving, you are merciful, you're my present help in time of trouble, that puts you in remembrance of who he is. And begin to remind him, you've done it before and I know you can do it again.
Amen.
If you've done it for my sister or my brother, I know you'll do it for me, because you're no respecter of persons. And then one day we encounter a day of trouble. Look at what he's already done. Remind yourself of who he is and what he can do and has done. Verse 6 says, O Lord God of our fathers, Jehoshaphat begins to call upon the Lord. He says, art thou not God in heaven? And rule not over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in your hand there is not power and might, so that none is able to withstand? Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend forever? You dwelt therein and built you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes on us, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we'll stand before in the temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction. You will hear and you will save. Call up and on the name of the Lord. Amen. So when evil comes, the sword, the judgment, all these things come, we can cry out to you and we can call to you. Verse 10 says, at one time you not let us invade them. At one time you would not let us invade them. Turn from them and did not destroy. But now they came to reward us, come to throw us out of your possession, which you've given us to inherit. You know, the Bible says that we've been given great and precious promises of God. We're an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. There are things that God has given to us as sons and daughters, and he wants to throw you out of that possession. But having done all, we stand. We stand. And says, we will not be moved. We will not be moved. So we have no power against these enemies. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. And there are some situations in life that we don't know what to do. Even if we could do something, we couldn't do anything. I mean, there's, you know, the enemy's coming. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And we may not know what to do, but God does.
Yes.
And that's why he says, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he begins to prophesy what the Lord will do. The enemy wants to silence you, to keep you from speaking what you know that you've heard from God, or speaking this word, and you need to get it out there into the atmosphere. And when you begin to, you're the prophet of your own life. You don't have to wait for somebody to give you a word. Allow that Spirit of the Lord to rise up in you, and you begin to speak into the atmosphere what you know the word has to say on that situation. And the anointed word will change that atmosphere around you, that you can begin to see the great and mighty things that God says that are yours. Amen. You will not defeat, and do not fear nor be dismayed because of this great multitude that is coming against you. Because the battle is not yours but God. You know why we get weary and tired sometimes? Because we're trying to fight a battle that's already been won. We're trying to do something that God says, I've already done it. And I've called you to rest in me. And in resting in me, you will find the peace that you need. Amen. So it says, do not be afraid, do not fear, do not be dismayed because of this great multitude. The battle that is coming, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation for the Lord who is with you. And so again he says to the people, do not fear nor be dismayed. When we fear, fear paralyzes you. Fear will paralyze you, and you are stuck in a position that God says that you don't have to be in. So he's prophesying into the atmosphere and telling the people, God says, don't fear, do not be dismayed, don't lose courage, because I'm going to show you what to do. I'm going to show you the position that you need to take to win that battle. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we're positioned in Christ in heavenly places. We need to speak from that position. And when you speak from that position that you're already seated in, it will change. Yes. Things will change. Maybe not at the moment, but if you keep standing and have it on all stand, that situation has no choice but to change. Amen. Sick the word on it. In the day of trouble, it's easy for our flesh to want to rise up and try to take things in our own hands. Let's get this done. Let's get this figured out. Let's get it over with kind of attitude. And God says, you need to slow down. Just be quiet. Rest in me, because the battle is not yours. I remember one time there was a situation happened years ago that God reminded me of. And it was just going to happen. There wasn't nothing that I could do about it. And I stepped back and I just said, well, God, it's going to be interesting to see how you're going to work this out. And he said, surely, he said, it may be interesting to you, but it's not going to be interesting to me because I know what I'm already going to do about it. God calls us to a place of rest and quit trying to do so much warfare against something that's already been settled. We spend all of our time rebuking and casting away and all this stuff. We need to learn to rest in what has already been given. All you need is to call upon me, believe me, get out of the way and stand in faith, for the battle is mine. When we choose to allow God to do the battle, it brings a place of rest. Because we're in a relationship with a supernatural God. And sometimes we don't see things happen because we're believing in the natural. We're believing in the natural. And we want it to work it out with natural means. God's a supernatural God. Ask him to open our eyes that we may see beyond what is around us. Remember 2 Kings 6:15-17, that story said, and when the servant of the man of God risen up early, gone forth, and hosts encompassed the city, horses and chariots, and its servant said unto him, my master, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And he answered, fear not. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. If God would open our eyes and see the angels that surround us every day, there is more for us than against us. And the angels that encamp around about us are waiting for our voice to send them and do some things for us. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them. And Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots of fire, all around Elisha. There is more for you than against you. And what we see in this natural realm is only temporary anyway. What we see here is only temporary anyway. So I got to tell somebody, the pain in your body is only temporary. The bank account that's in red is only temporary. Come on now, somebody needs to get this. The doctor's report is only temporary. How do I know? Because I read the manual. I talked to the author of the manual. I have a relationship with the author of this manual.
Yes.
Hey, woo. Yeah. The kid acted like not how you raised him at all. You don't know what's wrong with him. It's only temporary.
Amen.
This not finding a job is only temporary.
Yes.
What you see right now is only temporary.
Amen.
But open our eyes, Lord. Call to me, God says, and I'll show you great and mighty things. One translation says, those things that are hidden and fenced in. God says, when you call to me, I'll answer you, and I'll release those things that are hidden and fenced in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, help is on the way for somebody. Help is on the way.
Amen.
What a difference a day can make. I know we've been talking about the day of trouble, but I'll tell you, church, we're in the season of suddenlies. We're in a season of suddenlies. What a day. What a day can make. But now you know what to do in that day, should when it comes. You know what to do now. It says, call to me, and I'll answer you. Because I believe in the suddenlies. So I want you to listen to the rest of what I have to say this morning. I've heard the Lord say that your day of trouble is turning into a day of joy. Your day of tears is turning into a day of gladness. Hang up the hanky for the tears you have shed over that situation you will no longer have to grieve for. For I'm turning it around and you will see my salvation. Sometimes we cry over a situation that God says, I've already took care of it. And the crying is just for you. It's not about the situation. So there comes a time that we just say, the hanky is gone. I'm going to wipe the tears away, for the day of the joy of the Lord is here. And he says that my joy is my strength.
Amen. Amen.
Even in the upcoming days, I hear suddenly, the things you've given up on in this year that has not happened, some have even forgotten about, even starting to believe for it, because it never happened and you just put it away and you say, and you forgot about it. You have forgot all about it. God says, I've not forgotten about it.
That's right.
Because I heard you the first time that you asked me about it.
Amen.
And I've not forgotten about it. And he said, I'm going to bring it back to your remembrance.
Yes.
Bam, and you're going to walk into it.
Amen. Amen.
And once you begin to walk into it, you're going to say, yes, I remember asking you about that, God. See, God's not looking for perfection out of you. He's looking for somebody that will just believe him. That just take this here and say, if it's in there, that settles it. I can't be talked out of it. I can't be swayed out of it. I can't be troubled out of it. Because I know what the manual says. He says, I have not forgotten. God says, you're going to walk right into it. Don't count yourself out when I have counted you in. Amen. Amen. Was that short enough?
Yeah. No, go?
Well, hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost then and see what else the Lord has for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Father, we call upon your name today. You told us in your word that if we would call upon you, that you would hear us and you would show us great and mighty things. We thank you, Father God, that you are letting us see things that we've not seen before, that we are hearing things. Lord, the kingdom of God is in us now, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Begin to prophesy to that situation. Begin to decree and declare the word of the Lord over that situation. Hallelujah. Call upon me, says the Lord. Call upon me, says the Lord. Revisit that place that you have that you have believed me for. Glory to God. Glory to God. I see things turning around, church. Turning around, turning around. Hallelujah. Just stand to your feet and right where you are. Just say, my situation is turning around. And just turn around right where you are. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. There are so many grandparents that are raising their children's children today and are concerned about them. I just hear the Spirit of the Lord say that in this season, there is going to be a turnaround in that situation. He said, you have cried out to me about it. You've cried out to me about your grandkids. And there's a special place that I put in the hearts of grandparents. God says, this is the season that I'm going to turn that situation around. He said, you have stood and you have believed. And I just hear God saying, the courts may have said one thing. But he says to remind you that that court decision is being reversed in the courts of heaven. He said, your cry has come up to me, and those things are going to be reversed. Amen. Hallelujah. It's turning around in your favor. Turning around in your favor. And Father, we just pray for all the grandparents out there today and the ones that are here. We just pray for them today for peace, that they rest in you, that they quit trying to battle it on their own, that you're going to give them strategic plans on how to handle the situation, but they're going to step back. God says, the battle's not yours, it's his. You, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let it be in you that you can't when God says you can. I've anointed you for that thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Peace. Rest in God. Rest in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's making the way, church. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see, that we may see. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, do you have anything to share? Amen. We're going to pray over our food, and we're going to go have some fellowship and just have a time of just mingling together today and this afternoon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this food that has been prepared for us as we celebrate this joyous season of the birth of our Savior, that He is no longer in the tomb. He's not on the cross. But we serve a risen Savior today. And the same power, that same power that's in him is in us today. The works that he did, he said even greater works you're going to do. Thank you for this season of celebration today. I bless these people today, and I call them highly favored. And whatever they set their hands to will prosper. Hallelujah. And they are blessed to be a blessing. And the church said, amen and amen.